Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Ha ha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey, Brad.
What's up, Adam?
Oh, dude, you know, just feeling real chill.
You look good, you feel good.
Oh, and when you look good and you feel good, you pod good.
Darn right. And what's the best way that we can pod good?
Put Koi CBD in your body.
It's so great. I'm so glad that these guys jumped on as the sponsors. CBD oil is the hottest thing in health right now. You watch the news. Every day there's a new study about how good this stuff is.
Oh, yeah.
And the benefits of it.
We're one press conference away from Trump being like, this is why my cheeseburgers taste so good. They've got Koi CBD oil in them. CBD, if you don't know what it is, it's not weed. That's a big misconception. It's an oil derived from an industrial hemp plant that has no psychoactive effects, so you get the medical benefits from the hemp plant without getting high, man. It's a great natural alternative to over-the-counter and pharmaceutical drugs. Now, there's a lot of uses for CBD oil.
Absolutely.
Creams, tinctures, vapes, gummies, which Koi all provides. I fuck with the gummies every morning because it starts my day off with a very relaxed, chill, meditative. I just feel dialed in. There's got to be something in these gummies that also, you know, gives your brain an extra level of coherentness. Is that the word?
Well, because you probably
took it makes you make up words.
You took a gummy before you said that. That's for sure. And I do the same thing, but I have the oils. I just take the CBD oil. I put it in my tea, and then I'm good to go for the rest of the day.
Now. Is that from being married?
I mean, I don't know what it is.
Tea is great, though.
I'm a tea guy because it makes me feel good. And CBD oil, Koi CBD oil, makes me feel even better. They got all sorts of flavors. They got
the flavors?
They got peppermint. They got lemon lime. They got blue raspberry. They got all these different things.
They are the fruity pebbles of CBD oil. People use it, too, for pain, anxiety, inflammation. My mom uses the Koi topical creams for arthritis. And she straight up told me, she's like, I don't hurt like I hurt before.
That's a great slogan.
And I'm like, that is so awesome. Honest and real, and that's coming from a Jewish mom. Yeah. And as you said, they don't lie.
This stuff works so well. I'm scared to rub the lotion on me because I think it might cure my dwarfism. And then what the fuck am I going to joke about?
Well, Koi CBD, all these products are manufactured in the USA with 100% natural CBD oil. It's the best tasting product on the market, as we've attested to the flavors. We've tried a bunch. People have come to us all the time trying to be like, yo, can we sponsor? We haven't found the one we've liked until now. And they're America's number one trusted CBD brand. All the products are THC free. And it's a family-owned and operated company. And if you want to fuck with Koi, which you should because we do, and we can't talk about how much we love their products enough, the gummies, the tinctures, the creams, the tinctures, the drops. Dude, I put a couple drops in before I go to bed. And it also makes it easier to drink coffee because coffee gives me a little bit of anxiety.
Yep.
Now it calms me down. So I love that. If you want it, go to KoiCBD.com right now. Put in promo code AboutLastNight, all one word, all caps, for 20% off any retail order from the website. KoiCBD.com, promo code AboutLastNight for 20% off the order. Start feeling good, start living good, start looking good, start dwarfing good.
Start dwarfing good.
The official dwarf sponsor.
Koi is the official CBD sponsor of dwarves. Can I say that? I'm pretty sure.
You've got proof.
I'm a dwarf. I'll bring it up at the next meeting.
And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Tonight at the Comedy Store Belly Room, 8 p.m., me, Sandy Danto, Jaleel White, and the first ever going live with Adam and Sandy. Comedy Store Belly Room, real fired up for this show. It's the first one. Jaleel White is our special guest, and we're breaking down Instagram, baby. The highlights of the week, we got questions, we're going to review our favorite pages and posts. And then Jaleel's going to come up, do the same, break down the week in Instagram. And then we're going to pull names from a hat and bring you, the audience, up on stage to break down your Instagram. Are you down? Do you want to be a part? Do you want to go live with Adam and Sandy? Well, you can tonight, 8 p.m., Comedy Store Belly Room. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Tomorrow, through the week, I got a bunch of shows. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Brad Williams this weekend is in New York City at Caroline's on Broadway. Thursday through Saturday, go see Brad. Tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. I gotta say real quick before we get into the episode, Radio City Music Hall was a fucking dream. I can't even believe that I did that show. Dane Cook, you're the man. You destroyed. Soul Tour has been incredible, but this was a special night, and it's unbelievable. I
I don't know what to say, but I'll be posting more pictures soon. But thank you to everybody that came out. 6,000 people. Unreal. Today's guest is a New Orleans native, a comics comic, an America's comic, a Jerry Seinfeld's comic. We're talking about Mark Norman, baby. I've known Mark for a minute now. You know him from Conan, from Fallon. I think he's about to do his third time on Fallon. His hour special on Comedy Central. His stand-up albums. He's he's open for Schumer, Burr, now Seinfeld. Headlines everywhere on his own. And Mark is just one of those guys that's got a real effortless delivery and killer joke writing. And as I told him in the episode, I'm real drawn to comics that are just complete opposite of what I do. And because I'm fascinated by it and I admire it and probably jealous in a way. As I told Mark, I'm like, I love that style. I like who I am on stage. I like being conversational and stories and everything. But it's fun to be a fan, man. And Mark is truly one of the best. So follow him at Mark Norm on Twitter and at Mark Normand on Instagram. MarkNorman.com for all his tour dates. AdamRayComedy.com for my tour dates. Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram and Twitter. BradWilliamsComedy.com for his tour dates. Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. Funny Brad on Twitter. ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And email us at AboutLastNightPod@gmail.com. I've been giving away a lot of special ALN fan giveaways and live show fans. So if you talk to me, we'd get some good shit going. And you're a fan, well, then email me at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. And I'm going to send you some Adam Ray merch, baby. Read the Room. My album is still available on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Google Play. Got a lot of great guests coming up, man. Dr. Oz, Richard Kind, Blake Griffin, Taylor Tomlinson. The hits just keep on coming. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes or Spotify. Tell your friends and your family and give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, baby, and comment on that iTunes page. Helps us climb the charts. All right, you got the tour dates, you got the Twitter handles, the merch info out of the way. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast live from the Stand Comedy Club office in New York City with the hilarious Mark Normand.
Well, the weekend's over and it's time to chat about it.
It's time to chat about it.
Got a midget and a juice, so why don't you sit down?
So why don't you sit down and
listen to our dope podcast. Whether lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of day. So
come over and treat yourself right. It's about last night. Come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night. Well, come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
So you said your bike broke?
Yeah, I'm on a moped. It's a 1980 Gorelli. You got to see this thing. It's a beauty.
Everyone's moped now.
Is that right?
Well, I know Sebastian Maniscalco has one, so you're in good company.
All right.
I feel like Guy Fieri probably has one, so you're in great company.
He's got flames on that bitch.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for Manhattan, what's better? I'm zipping up and down Broadway. I did stand-up New York, 72nd, came all the way down to the Stand, went up to New York Comedy Club. I've done 6 sets.
Shut the fuck up.
It's insane.
Tonight?
Yeah. I mean, no subway, no cab, no nothing, just door to door. Everything's so quick.
Well, we should say you're getting ready to run, to do Fallon again.
Yes, so I'm running
it big time.
Extra.
I was going to ask you this last night, which, by the way, you crushed.
Oh, thanks.
Like, I was talking to Mike Cox, the booker, and I was like, I feel like that's good. Like, you know, it was so interesting to me to see how, I guess you could say, nervous or just, like, the beginnings, like we were talking about, of putting together a 5 that's, you know, quickly, and then trying to find, like, you know,
clean
and stuff that might be at the end or middle, and now you're trying to piece it all together
exactly.
And have it flow. Because even in a 5-minute set, you can see, it does make a difference. It doesn't take you out of the set, but if someone's just like, does an opening 2 jokes about, or even the first joke, I mean, you know, you're so good about having so many different topics, but like it does make a difference when things can kind of bleed
into
each other.
Of course, yeah.
Even in a 5-minute set.
I don't know if the layman or whatever, the civilians, they know about all this.
No.
You know? We're cobbling shit in and out. Everything kind of bleeds into another thing. And so with a 5-minute late night, you got to have a clear, cohesive, perfect 5. And
how'd it go tonight?
It's going. It's cooking. I did it in my apartment. I'm killing in my apartment. You know, but
you still practice in front of the mirror? I used to do that shit all the time.
I don't do the mirror. I don't. I just do a hairbrush, underwear, living yeah. room.
But you'll talk it out though.
Oh yeah, I gotta talk it out.
Yeah.
I don't know how people do it. They just page to stage. I'm all jumbled. I'm like, yeah, it's got. It's good to say the words in your mouth.
1,000%
Yeah.
That's why when I see homeless guys, sometimes I'm going into. By the way, no joke. Probably my first 2 years bit where I thought it was brilliant, but it never worked. But
yeah.
Now I'm gonna do it here for
good.
You. But it was basically where I would see because I lived in an area where there was like a fake psychic place that offered $10 palm readings, which at 2 a.m. I would see like. I mean, it was sex traffic. It was some sort of
yeah.
Russian underground hand job party.
Right.
That was during the day. It was like $10 palm readings.
Yeah.
Which I was always like, $10 to read your palm? Like, that seems, you know, like a great deal, but
yeah.
It should cost more if you're claiming you can do that.
Yeah, exactly.
But on that street, there were always a bunch of bums that would, not like, you know, get a job, but like true bums, true LA bums that were
nice.
Like living in bushes and screaming obscenities. But one of them would talk so much. Insanity, and you know, and it was during a time when I was in acting class and doing tons of monologues. So in my head, I was like, "How do I know this guy just can't pay for class, but he's still trying to do the work?" You know,
right,
he's rehearsing
right.
a scene.
Yeah.
But the reading out loud thing is like again, like, and I think whatever your process is, do it right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I see guys on the subway in New York, and they're like. They're going like, and you said this, and you said that. You're like, oh, is he crazy or is he an actor?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe both.
Yeah, maybe both. Most
Wait, so,
actors are nuts.
That's the city bike thing is probably.
Oh yeah.
You don't do why the electric bike?
Well, you feel like a cool guy. It's buzzing under your asshole, you know. And I'm zipping around. The city bike is so.
You can do more work, right?
Yeah, you're pedaling all day, and everybody hates you. You know, you're the finance guy who's trying to have a crazy night and getting on a bike. You
oh,
know,
God.
So
try to get his workout in. But also, like you just said, 6 sets. You truly can make all of them.
Yes,
if you're going 30 miles an hour.
Right, and when you think about Manhattan, it's not that big. You know, it's like. A mile high this way and a mile wide, maybe. So
yeah.
You're all over it.
So you're feeling good about.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about the set, and it'll come out next week. I don't know when this comes out.
Next week, yeah.
Oh, great! So give it a watch. You're hearing it right before it comes out.
How much do you differ in between the 6 spots? Well, I guess you're about to do. Is this going to be 6 or 7 tonight?
This will be 6.
Jesus,
this is
Christ.
The last one.
Will you only do that many sets when you're trying to work something like this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because. You know, I got to run. I'm a nut. Like, I don't know these guys who can just go up and fuck around on, like, a TV thing. I don't have that in me. I got to have every word down. I'm a wacko. I'm the same in bed. I know the whole thing. I know what I'm going to do. Flip her over. Put a leg up. Balls in the mouth.
Yeah,
whatever.
It's timed out.
Yeah.
Minute 6, balls in the mouth.
Right.
Minute 4, maybe a left-hand slap. But not on the cheek, on the face, because she asked for it.
She liked it.
At minute 4, she better ask for it.
Right. That's a great Bill Burr bit where I'm like, oh, I wish I thought of that about how, what do we do about rough sex? Some chicks like rough sex.
Yeah.
And, yeah, me too, baby. You know, it's all changed.
Is there a limit to the number of sets you would do? Because I used to hear before I even got out to New York when I was first doing stand-up about how guys would do multiple sets in
yeah.
a night. And then when I finally got to a point in L.A. to where I was like, oh, cool, I can do all the big rooms in a night. So that's 3. And then maybe at the store do... All 3 there,
yeah.
You know? So then maybe that's 4. And then if I'm really crazy, I'm like, oh, I'll drive to the Ice House because I haven't been out there for a while.
Wow,
so that's 5. And I've done 6 the most, but a lot of 4 and 5ers. And
that's great for LA
for sure. But also, like, I do get to only I'd say a handful of the times did I walk away from or like you know now there's so many shows in like you know the back of a clothing store in Venice, like cool little you know indie. Shows that would you know be really popular here. The LA is trying to take a page out of New York's book of doing cool shows and offbeat spots.
Yeah,
but only a few of the times I walk away from all those sets going like I'm glad I did all 5.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Because
some towards the end I either
it's just, all scramble. You're
yes.
just like my time. I gotta go on next, man. I'm sorry, I gotta go on next.
1,000%.
I got 6 minutes, you know. And then you're like, where's the car? Shit, I got a ticket.
Yeah.
I gotta go to the car. Unpark. You know.
So maybe only
it.
2 of the sets did you actually get what you
exactly,
intended
exactly.
to do.
Exactly. You're just trying to make them instead of actually getting anything out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's. It's kind of like when you. I was in a 12-year relationship.
Whoa.
And yeah, I broke out of it. I got caught cheating. It was a whole thing.
Engaged.
But, no, I wouldn't do it. I'm a wuss. I'm a fucking child.
It's tough, dude. I don't know how...
You're not engaged or
no,
anything.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a girlfriend, but I... Man, it's... We talk about it, but...
Yeah, of course.
But I've had, you know, 3 significant opportunities to probably pull the trigger, and kind of when each one of them ended, they were all kind of devastating in their own way.
Yeah.
But not like, not really, because there was a part of me that was like, gotta, didn't
exactly
have to,
exactly,
like, you know, days later, but,
right,
you know, not in the moment. Like,
I know we're so lucky, we have comedy, we love it, whatever, but like some guys just like, I'll get married, I'll have a kid, I'll kill myself, you know, like maybe I'll get promoted, I'll try to buy that Lexus one day and get a, you know, a nice pension or whatever the hell you get. What, yeah, do real people get? I don't
Jamba
know.
Jamba Juice gift card? I don't know. What, yeah, do real people do?
But like, we have comedy like that we like, so we're like, we got this thing.
I know.
And it's fun, it's cool, I know all these amazing people.
Yeah.
And then, oh yeah, marriage. And I know it's cliche, but every girl I've ever dated is like, when are you going to propose? When are you going to propose? And you're like, come on.
How early on, too? Geraldo used to have this great bit about where he's like, you can't leave well enough alone.
Right.
You know, you're
right,
always asking, where's this headed? Where are we,
yes,
going? Like, you know, yeah.
Then you move in. That's a fight. You finally move in. Then you got to get married. That's a fight. Then it's a fight about kids. It's just like,
kids seems like the big, like, I mean, do you have anybody in your life? Do you have brothers, sisters?
Older brother. Married, two kids.
Yeah. So it's almost like that filled the void for the grandparent, like,
right,
all the,
right, that's true.
And it's also like, you know, that's a blessing, I think, for anyone who gets to be on the other side, like, you know, my sister and all my nieces and nephews, great to be around them, love that, but it's definitely like an inside track into like, okay, cool, that's what it would look like.
Right.
And every time I leave, I'm just so like, God, if I had to go back to one right now.
Exactly.
And I had to get up and I didn't want to.
Yeah.
Like that, it's as small as it, that is, but it's like,
dude, every Thanksgiving, my brother has three beers. He grabs my arm and he goes, don't do it. And it haunts me. Haunts me.
And they always like, with a, you know, and there's always like an elbow or a,
yeah,
joke. And
yeah.
And you feel obligated to meet them halfway with, like, right, ah, you know, yeah, or, you know, birth control if he's running around crazy.
Right,
but,
right.
But, you know, deep down, it's like there's a lot of truth there.
Oh, there's a lot of truth. And I feel bad. There's people listening to this with kids. And all we're saying is just kill them. No. Get rid of them. Drown them. No, I'm joking.
Sell them on eBay. No,
yeah.
There's a, well, so 12-year relationship. So is this like a public thing that you?
High school sweetheart, moved to New York together.
In New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
College, I found comedy. She was into it. Moved to New York. She like pretended to love it, you know.
But probably did, but then like, right? Or maybe even,
yeah, but then
this
it's
also early Mark, right?
Exactly.
Yikes.
Doing open mics. It's cute. It's, maybe this is a joke. And she's like, oh, that'll be funny. You're so funny. It was all very supportive. And then, yeah, after a while, it's like, I got to get on late night. I got to get a half hour. Is this funny? That guy sucks. How did he get on? That's all I'm talking about, you know?
Yeah, I know, dude.
And so I don't blame her. And then she wanted the picket fence and the white, I guess, white picket fence.
Yeah.
So eventually, I didn't know how to get out. I lived with her. Our families knew each other. I was in, man. I was like 6 feet underground.
Were you almost looking for something to,
yes,
like, and would you talk, like, were you planned the exit? That sounds like the great premise
the
of
time.
Like a, I was going to say Jason Sudeikis, not Ryan Seacrest. Who's the other guy? Fucking, not
Philip
Annette
Bay?
Benning. No, Jesus
Warren
Christ.
Warren Beatty.
I'm just thinking of it. Just, no, what's,
American Beauty.
No, the lead actor of Arrested Development.
Oh, Bateman.
I was going to say Jason Statham, yeah.
Justin Bateman.
Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman,
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Sorry. I'm thinking of his hot sister.
The worst game show ever, Statham or Bateman. Or how do you get to Jason Bateman?
Right.
But, you know, like, it, you know, the idea of like a guy being trapped in a relationship, yeah, and then he's like, I got to get out of it. So his friends and family planned some sort of, I mean, you didn't go to that extent, did you?
No, but I think I got caught cheating, and I was so sloppy about it that I think subconsciously I was trying to get out.
In the bed while she was sleeping?
No, I had a phone on the counter and I was showering and I was fucking this gal and the phone lit up, and this is back before I had a code on it, so it just lit up and it was just like a photo of her and naked.
Didn't even try to hide it.
I know.
Like a picture of like a football player or something.
Yeah, exactly. So
hey, Saquon Barkley's calling me. He's not even in the league yet. This guy must have seen my 3 minutes.
So yeah. So then she sees everything, and then she starts reading through the scroll of like what last night was amazing. I'm gonna do this to you next time. And this
God.
And then the balls and the jizz and the queefs and the whole thing and the positions. So then, you know, the shower curtain ripped open. And she just showed me, and I was like, hey, what's up? You coming in, you know, and I'm soapy and wet. And she just shows me the phone, and I see the photo of the naked girl. And I was like, you don't understand. She's fucking crazy. Ah, you know, I just tried. And she just dropped the phone in the shower, and I jumped out, and I was trying to reason with her in the living room, soaking wet, naked, which is a bad look for a dude.
Yeah.
And that was it.
She didn't even try to make some joke like,
no.
Hey, so whose queefs are better? Like,
right. No, nothing. I wish.
Yeah.
That'd be, you got to marry her.
Yeah.
Ironically, that would have been the marriage proposal. But no,
dang,
no.
Dang, dude. So
it was bro, and I felt horrible. I was
course,
a piece of shit.
Because guess what, man? As much as you, I mean, look, any way you slice it, breakups are just like, or, you know, even like in our professional business, like ending it with a rep, like,
right,
even
right.
If it's been a couple years, there's some sort of like, not betrayal, but just like, ah, this feels like.
Completely.
You get accustomed to something and somebody, but have you spoken to her since?
Yeah, she's already remarried, like, right. But. We're cool. She had to go to therapy. I went to therapy. I remember walking around Manhattan with earbuds in, just like sobbing. That's, you know.
Wow.
It was so, I mean, it was like losing a leg because you, 12 years, you know, and then it's just gone.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
Did she go back to New Orleans or she stay here?
She stayed. She works for CNN, I think. Like, she's killing it. She got
is
like
it
a
Wolf
real
Blitzer?
Job. Yeah. I was fucking Megyn Kelly. Yeah. No. Oh, wait, that's Fox. Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah,
I don't
can't
know.
Do that on the Tonight Show.
I don't know my
that's
politics.
Mike's one qualm about the joke.
Right, right.
Like, but I said I'm fucking her. No, that's fine. It's just get the network right.
Yeah. That's what they go. They are like that.
How much material, because I think this is, and I'm curious too, because you have a very, like one of the most unique, like delivery styles and I, you know how everyone, like there's, you have a comic that like, you know, you're envious of because you're like, man, I know that's not what I do or what I could do, but that's like watching you the way you do jokes and your timing and your cadence. Like when I started, I was like, oh, that's what I like. I watch you being like, oh, that's what I wish I was doing. You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I can't. It's funny because when I started, everybody's like, you got to change your delivery. Your voice is horrific. I hate your jokes are too jokey.
That's so crazy. Who's telling you this?
Everybody.
Megyn
everybody.
Kelly?
And I'm listening. Yeah. she just said the N-word. But I was just, everybody was like, this sucks because you're so green and you're trying to absorb all these tips. And
but
so,
were these comics that you looked up to that wanted to take you under their wing or people that like saw the funny in you and were jealous or
maybe,
whatever it was, and
maybe.
They were like, hey, do this because it sucks that you're so, guys, fucking good. Change up the way you do things. Walk on stage with your dick out.
Right,
and,
right.
Because you know, they're just so.
I didn't have that thought. I was like, oh, I got to let you've been doing it 10 minutes longer than me, so I'll listen. Because there's no handbook or anything. So you're just kind of going
with
crazy? The
flow. They're truly like, unless you meet somebody early on to give you any sort of like
nothing.
Tidbit of wisdom that you feel rapport to so that you feel like it's not bullshit.
Right.
Like whether you are on a weird road gig with them, like Brett Ernst told me something, you know Brett Ernst?
Yeah, I like Brett Ernst.
Now I think he's in Ohio, but he told me in La Jolla Comedy Store once because I was so concerned like 3 years in about half hours and all this shit. He's like, dude, write all the time, keep getting funnier, and that shit, control what you can control is basically what he said.
Yes, yes.
And that, man, that resonated so hard, and obviously, like, easier said than done to hold on to that day in and day out, but at least that early on, it gave me, like, some clarity to, like, okay, take a beat. Like, don't be freaking out every day and every set and every joke, you know what I'm saying? Like,
of course, no,
have
that's
some
good.
Perspective.
I wish somebody had told me that. I was all over the place and just trying to learn and, you know, you put a YouTube clip up too early and the comments are horrific and you're like, Jesus, maybe I should quit and all that, you know.
Because people were telling you, like, you got to start putting content up.
So yes!
Like, is this what content is?
Exactly.
And they're like, well, not that, man. We mean, like, not you.
Yeah.
You're like,
and
you being funny, though.
It was so, there was so little information about it. I remember listening to Woody Allen on comedy, which was like a CD. It was originally a record, and now it was a CD. And it was just him talking about what to do in comedy. And now I'm fucking an Asian stepdaughter. So... Yeah, so it's all over the road, but you figure it out. It's just trial and error. And
wait, blah, so blah. You were this Mark Norman when you first started, and you've been doing it, what, 16?
No, 13.
13 years.
Yeah.
God damn, dude.
Yeah, but my whole point was,
yes.
I don't know how we got on the girlfriend. Damn it. Something about doing six sets a night. My whole point was, after I got off her, after we broke up,
yes.
I got on Tinder and went, ham.
Wow.
Ham, baby. I should say beef because of the curtains, but I went... Beef, baby. I mean, Tinder was kind of new, and like Bumble was just out. I went crazy. I got gonorrhea and chlamydia. I got chlamydia twice
in the same day.
Yeah, same girl.
Sounds like an old like bar mitzvah joke. Right. The rabbi says to like calm the kids' nerves down. Got chlamydia. Wait, so okay, so
I like that.
You went nuts because
I was 12 years pent up.
Wow. Yeah, because you. I mean, had you stayed pretty faithful up until that point?
Pretty much, yeah, yeah.
Dang, dude.
That last year was a little rocky, but yeah.
Now, how much, because again, I think this is a blessing and a curse when traumatic shit happens. I think we, the benefit to get conditioned to, hopefully after a while, when something bad happens, to find some funny in it, whether it's immediately or like a few days after. But did you start writing about it, or did you just try to like
not as much
cover
as
the
should.
Wound by getting out there.
I just went all, I went whole hog on puss.
Yeah.
And just like, I want to see if I can fuck two girls in a night.
Coach
I want
to
see.
Where do you like, you got any beef I can fuck?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. I had a chef's hat on, a mustache. The mustache smelled like asshole. I got a, this.
Wait, that's a commercial for Chef Boyardee. Like, that's got to be in the lost footage somewhere where he's like, I think it'd be funny. Like, dude, you don't know advertising. You know pasta. Let's right. keep it at that. Now, what if I got a little shit on my muscle? You know?
Right, right. He's licking the bow tie pasta. Or not the bow tie, the shell. Yeah. Like, it's a little vagina. Shell pasta. That's my favorite one.
Me too.
Get out of here.
Yeah, man.
Hashtag.
Come on.
So. But yeah, I got this, what do you call it, virus called H. pylori. Have you heard of this? That's from eating ass. You get it from feces.
I've heard of Hugh Laurie.
Yeah, this is way worse. This is H. pylori. I ate this girl's ass in Wisconsin.
Real quick, by the way, just sounds like a terrible Celine Dion song that didn't make the album. but when you, how early in your beef rampage,
yes,
did you you start eating ass?
Well, I was such a booze bag that I was up for anything. Like, you want a scissor, you want a 69,
let's
I'll
do
eat
it all.
And I wasn't wearing condoms. I was such a fucking reckless
crazy?
Animal.
Yeah, dude.
And I was, you know, 28. I was still 27, 28. I was still pretty young, and I had no career, really. So I just went all in on booze and then tendering. And I had a Conan, so I just put the Conan photo of me and him as my cover, and that was huge. That was a game changer. So, like, I was cleaning up, and people were like, what are you, a celebrity? What are you doing on Tinder? I was like, well, I'll make an exception for you. You're super, you know, all that shit.
Wow.
And, man, I'm not like a ladies' man. I'm not like a smooth guy, but I could fake it enough and then bring him to a show. And if I did well, that was a
game
changer.
Show's equalizer, right? Let him
Huge.
See you in your element.
Yes.
Everyone there, your chum, it's your, you're in your
element.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's our cleavage.
What? Yeah, truly. It's funny how. It's any sort of like, whether it's heartbreak or like a, you know, just some sort of negative life thing you go through, you do, you know, get this like kind of fight or flight thing where you're like, all right, I'm going to go screw around. But comedy, I'm sure, was still very much a part of the rotation and the routine, right?
Oh, yeah. That was my whole life.
So not like you were skipping out on shows to, you know, go bang or whatever.
I was trying to make it both work.
Yeah.
So comedy was a lot, you know, comedy now is like 100%, but back then it was like 60, 40, 40 women, you know. And
you were seeing yourself, was there a part of you or did people say to you like, dude, Mark, you're really funny. Like, imagine if you took another 40% and put it into comedy.
All the time. And I was blacking out at the club and shit like that. And then you wake up, you're like, how'd I get home? And then people are like, you get the text like, you fucking owe me an apology. You're like, oh, shit.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I had to like get my shit together. I saw video of me. I had my face was this fat. It was huge because I was so bloated from the booze, you know. So, yeah, it was tough. Tough times, but I had some great nights.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, how often do those things just come back into your wheelhouse of like, remember that?
Every time I can't fall asleep, I think about those nights, and it helps me kind of relax. I'm like, remember that time you fucked a girl on the roof and you could see Brooklyn, you know? And I remember that time you banged a girl in her husband's house, you know?
Whoa.
I mean, that's crazy stories. Women are crazy. By the way, every girl gets mad at me when I talk about all the girls I fucked. They're like, all right, you fucking whatever. But I'm like, isn't that slut shaming? How come I can't talk about it?
No shit.
I'm just saying. Like, they always go, all right, you pig. And I'm like, well, let me be a whore.
Also, Lou, yeah, it was, I mean, you met somebody who was down to do it. You did it. You
consensual.
Did it again. I mean, I don't know, dude. It goes both ways. I know quite a few gals that just have their fun. And they're in that stage of life. And whether they're doing it now or they did it or they got out of a relationship and they're doing it. And I'm just like, more power to you.
Yeah, good for you.
Like, are you hurting somebody? Are you unless
live it up?
I mean, you know, and it's like wearing a seatbelt. It's like, you know, it's on you. You know what the rules are and what you're capable of.
There you go. Wait, I don't get how it's like wearing a seatbelt.
No, neither do I. Do. All right. Stretching.
Condoms like
it's
a seatbelt.
It's my first podcast in a in an office of a comedy club.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you want to be a stand up in New Orleans? Because I'm trying to think of. You did.
Well, when I was in college, I was rudderless. I lived in a house with five guys. We had a beer pong, hot tub. It was a mess. And I had nothing going on. And my parents are brilliant. And my brother's a genius. And I got dick jokes. That's it. I was just the class clown douche. So once I found comedy, I just went all the way. Just like the gash. I went all in. And I did it in New Orleans. There's no scene there.
I was going to say, because like, who are you seeing locally, or it just had to been all TV and movies and just
all YouTube and, you know, Louis C.K. and George Carlin and Eddie Murphy. Like comedy was like, it was like astronauts, you know, like I could never do that. Yeah. But I was like, it's fun. I'll do some bar shows.
But you were making people, you were like the funny guy in most circles.
In high school, I got voted funniest and shit like that. So
from doing what?
Just dicking around. Yeah. I mean, you put your balls on the corner of a desk back when you could do that. Yes. And stuff like that.
You still can. You just got to be like, make sure it's in the cool teacher's room.
Right, know? Right.
And Mr. Berger, where he's going to be like, hey, there's a time and a place. And you're like, cool, cool, cool. And then like he turns around and then, you know, you do it right after that.
Yeah. It's weird how it's all changed. Like I go into green rooms now at like a Funny Bone on the road and I'm like, are these comics cool? Can I fart? Are you going to blog if I say retard? You know, like,
man,
it's scary. It's weird. I used to get nervous about the audience. Now I'm nervous about the fat guy with the sides of his head shaved, you know?
Well, I love, too, that real quick, that you when you went on a Cleveland Morning Show recently.
Oh,
and just,
yeah.
Like, a clip I feel like kind of went viral. It got,
well, it did well, yeah.
And because I'm a big advocate of just, like, you know, fucking around on those shows. Because
you got to.
Once you do enough of them, you're like, they care so little about you being there.
Yes.
That you're just like, well, then this is for me.
Exactly.
And also I'm trying to move tickets.
Right.
So like, what am I just going to go along and let them suck the energy out of me too and make me look awful?
That's a great way to put it.
And so you, man, you went for it. And you, I mean, even said something about like, you're eating bad food and then you were farting and then the girl, and you were like, is it just, like, if it's, you know, a guy's fart or if it's your own fart, you like to smell it.
Yeah.
And you know, but if somebody else's and you were like to the gal, you were like, if you fart, I'd be like, oh, gross, you know?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Weird. Yeah. It was even funnier you said that.
And then, or that's a queef, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, which they were like, can we say that? That was like a discussion after.
People
like,
were dying, though, like in the background. That's what I loved. Like, for sure, camera guys were like, this is the best.
That was keeping me going. I was nervous. I was like, is this too far? I was walking that line, but it was like the fourth one that day. I was hungover. It was like 8 a.m. But that lady hung in there. She was awesome.
She was cool.
Yeah.
Because like if she like laughed it off, she didn't have to like jump on board and be like, queef, what a weird word. But she was cool enough to let you to let you look funny.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
I appreciate
that. She could see it was being funny, even though she had to be the hall monitor. She was letting it happen.
Yeah.
She was cool. But that really popped. We sold out the next two nights after that.
Shut up.
In Cleveland. Yeah, which I'm not a draw. So that was exciting.
Please tell me you like walked out and go, hey, can I say queef here? And everybody goes nuts. Like it's your new iCarumba.
It was so new to me and foreign to me that I didn't know that that's why it sold out. It's like, oh, it's a hot night. There must be no sports on or something, you know?
Well, traveling with Bert, you went to Europe with him, right?
Dude, PhD in marketing.
I was going to say, you did. Is that a guy? Because you got into, when you first got going, you were, rolling around with Amy, right?
Schumer, and then Louie for a while, and other people, Tom Papa here and there, but yeah. Now I'm on my own.
Now you're crushing on your own. Is there experience from each of those, you know, aspects of touring that you like? Did you go out of your way to ask them for advice on things, or would they kind of take you under their wing, or was it just like a mutual friendship that you just kind of like observe?
Yeah.
By being around it.
That's a good question. Like Schumer was all I was so new. I was an open micer, and she was in a private.
When she took you out.
Pretty much. Like, I was doing bar shows, maybe, but I was still doing mics and, you know, I was in no clubs.
No fucking
No passing way. Anywhere. No TV credits. So she was a saint to have this idiot loser, you know, hayseed, coming out there. And she was doing clubs, and they weren't really filling up. But then she did the roast of Charlie Sheen, and it just popped.
Game over.
Oh, sorry. Just popped all over the place. And it was just theaters, like, the next day. And then it was tour bus, and then it was private jet. It all happened in, like, a blink.
Holy shit.
And so I got to watch all that, and I got to watch her handling the agents and all that on the phone, and it was a, what do you call it, crash course.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was the open micer response to seeing you? Like, because, you know, again, like, this comedy's competitive.
Yeah.
As much you don't want to say that it is, everyone's looking behind and in front, right, in the rearview mirror, and just what's right in front of you, and I've got to assume that there are some, like, you know, you go back to, or would you not go back to the mics after like an experience like that?
A little bit, yeah, but I still needed them. I still, you know, I'm doing 1,200 seaters and then 5,000 with her, so like I couldn't be like, is this anything, guys? Can I work this out? You know, so you still have to work on material.
Yeah.
So I'd go to the mics or bar shows, but it elevated me a little bit, you know. But I still maybe got into one club after that, but then as the years went by, you get into more and more. But yeah, it was a game changer. And then Louie was more, let's work on this joke. Let's tweak this. Let's turn that. How's this? It was all about the art, you know? And then Tom Papa was a killer. He was just like, hey, do whatever you want. I don't care. And then
I'm going to make some bread.
And then Bert was like, what are you doing with these videos? It's crazy. Like, get on this. You got to do that. Well, you got to tag this. Give that a hashtag. I was like, I don't know any of this. Wow. He's like, you got to get the algorithm and blah. He's saying words I don't even know.
Yeah, because you're doing that a lot now, which I think is really smart. I mean,
that's all Bert.
Everyone's doing so much of the clips and the captioning right now, but like, you got so much great tape.
Yes, thanks.
Special, do it. Don't
be yourself, don't be which yourself. Nobody saw. And now I'm getting a whole new audience. Actually, an audience, I should say, because no one sees Comedy Central.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
And you were able to, did you have to wait a little bit to take it and chop it up?
They hated it, and I had like a fight with them about it.
They wouldn't give it to you and they hated it?
No, I tried to put it on YouTube like 8 times. I probably shouldn't say any of this, but they would. They have a thing that they can just take it off in a minute. Like it's like a, if they see a pattern of a video
Christ.
Match or something, it just comes off. It says, you don't own this or whatever. But Instagram, somehow it works. So I just went that route.
Oh, amazing. And it's like high quality shit. So it's like,
exactly.
Because that does make a difference. Like when you're always trying to post clips, you're looking at, you know, the stuff that people are putting out there, and it makes a difference. Some people are going to watch, you know, if they're going to watch your shit, but like, obviously if it looks and sounds good. So in New Orleans, when you were in the frat, was there, you know, you're fucking around?
It wasn't even a frat, but yeah. It was just five guys, five douchebags.
Okay, so it felt like a frat house.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. Was there aspirations? Like, so you said your brother, genius, and folks.
Yes.
Your folks do what?
They were both lawyers when I was a kid, then they eventually got out of that to like, my dad got into real estate, my mom opened a museum. I mean, these are like elitist, what? You know, they're very liberal, but they're like, what do you call it? Like
goal-oriented?
Intellectuals.
Yeah.
There you go.
Jesus. So were they looking down on you or just like, Marky, you
I
need
think
to find
so.
Something?
I was a drunk douche, you know, my friends had me in a headlock.
You're doing that thing
much.
Where you put your finger through your zipper and you're
yes.
like, hey, it's a penis if you work hard enough. Like, what does that mean?
That was me. Yeah, and they're like reading Tolstoy, you know, so
Jesus.
it was a disconnect, and that made me drink more because I wanted their love, and they're cold-hearted people, and my brother's killing it. He was like writing, working for Google, and he was like a computer guy. And
oh, making you look bad.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling dick jokes in a basement, you know, and they're like, really, you want to do this? But I was so into it, they're like, all right, we're not going to stop you. And I moved to New York. They were like, really? I got mugged 3 times in a year. Landlord
no
died of AIDS. Bed
no.
bugs. Oh, yeah. I was broke. I had to live way out in Brooklyn. It was bad, man. It was a bad train. But I had nothing else. I was against the cliff.
That's insane. And there was no stopping you, though.
I just had no other plan B. Like, this was it.
You reminded me of a great quote. And I'm not a big quote guy because I feel like girls on Instagram ruin quotes. But there's a quote. There's a couple quotes. My mom used to always tell me, you know what Michael Jordan said when he got to the free throw line? Fuck it, just have fun. And I'm like, I don't think that's exactly what he said. I also probably don't think he said that out loud at the free throw line.
Right.
But I get the sentiment. But there was a Will Smith quote that I'll never forget where he said on, I think it was on Oprah,
mm-hmm.
during the heyday. Come on, man. I never miss an episode.
Oh, yeah.
You
look
come
under
home,
your chairs.
You come home from school. Dude, come just, you know, like I get some Tom Cruise couch jumps.
Yes.
And then I get some Will Smith quotes that are going to stay with me forever.
I might have seen this episode.
He said, don't have a plan B because it distracts from your plan A.
Oh.
So, and I was like, whoa, man. It hit me like a ton of bricks.
That's
like,
a good way to put it.
And so hearing you say that, I'm just like, dude, that, like, what a, you would have been doing yourself a disservice if you were like, I need to figure, like, because you were just like, this is it.
Yeah.
But also, you know, it sounds like you, I mean, I'm trying to think of your parents, like, when you moved to New York, and they're just like, oh, I guess he's doing it, but, like, that's a big deal to move there to do, like.
But that's how little I had going on, that they were like, at least he's going somewhere. At least he's moving, literally getting on a plane. Like, I was just I was sleeping till 1, you know, out all night, waiter jobs, like, here and there. Like, I was such a loser that they were like, this is a glimmer of anything.
Yeah.
You know?
So were there open mics in New Orleans, or what was the first taste of, like,
that was
somebody
it.
Push you to a state? Yeah.
I got drunk one night, and my friend was a waiter with me, and he said, you should do comedy. I said, I can't. You know, what are you, crazy? And he's like, well, just write some funny shit down. And I was in a speech class, so I took the class as, like, I'm going to use this to, like, try material, because you had to give speeches.
Yeah.
So I'd give a speech on bedwetting, or I'd give a speech on whatever, like, eating out girls or something like that to try to be funny. And whatever got a laugh in there, I'd be like, all right, I'll take this on a stage.
Holy
shit. I was so nervous I would get blackout drunk and not be able to get it out, and then I have to riff, so now you're riffing. So, like, it all was comedy.
God, dude, yeah.
But I didn't know it was comedy. I was like, oh, I'm blowing it, you know? And
isn't
then eventually
that crazy?
You just keep doing it.
Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Koi CBD. Ooh, CBD oil, baby. Feeling relaxed just hearing me talk about it, aren't you? If you don't know what CBD oil is, don't feel like a dum-dum. Adam's here to tell you. CBD is an oil derived from industrial hemp and has no psychoactive effects, man. So you can get the medical benefits, okay, from the hemp plant without getting high. There's no weed. You're not going to get paranoid. It's a great natural alternative to over-the-counter and pharmaceutical drugs. People use CBD oil for pain, depression, anxiety, stress, inflammation. New benefits are being discovered for CBD oil all the time. My mom uses the topical cream from Koi CBD, and it's helped immensely, which is big time because she's been having a tough time with arthritis and finding a solution. And Koi CBD is stepping up to the plate with their topical creams. They've got tincture droplets, vape pens, edibles, pet products for your dogs and cats to chill out. Come on, it's a stressful life being a cat and a dog. You want to chill out? Get some Koi CBD treats. They got topical products and more. All their products are manufactured in the USA with 100% natural CBD oil. It's a family-owned and operated company, and it truly is the best-tasting CBD products on the market. I feel like left and right, people are approaching me after shows, just being in the comedy business, because comedy and CBD kind of go hand in hand. It's great stress reliever for our world. The Koi CBD gummies I fuck with daily because it puts me in a zen state before I start my day. And at night, kind of relaxes me and helps me sleep better, quite honestly. It's America's number one trusted CBD brand. All the Koi CBD products are THC-free. And there's a guaranteed purity, safety, and consistency level in all of their products. They're the best tasting CBD products on the market. Again, I've tried so many. The amount of people that have been like, try these pens. We got these flavors and these, you can put strawberry. Berry root beer foot. It's like, shut up, man. No, I'm going with Koi CBD because they got the most shit and the best tasting shit. And quite honestly, it's made me feel the best out of any of the products I've tried. And that's why they're America's number one trusted CBD brand. So if you want to get your stress relief on, your relaxation going, and start living a better, healthier life, get rid of that depression, anxiety, stress, and just start feeling better, then get hooked up with Koi CBD, okay? Head on over right now to KoiCBD.com, that's KoiCBD.com, and enter promo code AboutLastNight for 20% off any retail order from the website. That's Koi, KoiCBD.com, promo code AboutLastNight for 20% off any retail order from the website. Gummies, tinctures, pens, creams, they got it all. I'm telling you, they're the shit. And Brad and I couldn't love them more. Who knows? They might fucking make Brad grow, which would ruin his act, but would help him reach the Cocoa Puffs on the top shelf. Did you like school?
Oh, of course not.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, you were just like fucking, any opportunity to kind of make somebody laugh or be distracting.
Yeah. It's and the exact same way. It's weird if you got laughs in speech, you got a better grade.
Yes. I love it. By the way, I think you and I have a lot of similarities. I did the exact same thing in high school, took the speech class for that purpose so I could do funny. Dude, I did a speech on how to make toast. My teacher still to this day tells me, because she gave me an A for it.
Yeah.
She was like, worst speech ever, but you had like the whole room in stitches and you were like, and as far as the speech part goes,
yeah,
you were like, I don't know if captivating is the word she used, but like engaging and fun and articulate and you weren't whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't remember what you said, because she's like, you brought in jams and butters and you were doing this whole.
Oh, that's great.
But I think, you and I both having that thing of seeing like an opportunity to like, not just be like, all right, well, let me just go through the motions and because I have to, let me try to get something out of it.
Right, right.
Not knowing that this was going to be what you were going to do.
It's funny you say that. I took a film class because I was obsessed with film, and we all poured our heart into the big student film at the end. It had to be like 10 minutes and, lighting and actors and a script and the whole thing. And this one kid, we all got like C's and D's. This one kid had a video of a blade of grass that was standing taller than the rest of the grass and a lawnmower going towards it. And it just cut to the grass and then it would cut to the mower.
Holy
cut to the grass,
shit.
Cut to the mower, cut to the grass, cut to the mower. And then something happened where like the mower was like crapped out. And that was it.
And the blade of grass stayed alive.
And the blade of grass stayed alive. And it was so captivating. And he got an A++. And the teacher was like, now that's filmmaking. We're like, that's it. I got blackface on. I'm tap dancing. I'm doing all this shit.
I put this butt plug in my urethra for a B.
I had to pay this hobo to eat me out. All this stuff. And that's what that. But it was a better movie. He was right.
Wow, dude.
Yeah, so that's like your toast thing.
Yeah. Do you still, I feel like I've heard you on podcasts or Norton Show, something just talking movies. You're a big film
movie
guy, yeah?
Douche, yeah. I love that movie. I went to film school in New York, and I was doing sets at night. That was one way I got up here. But yeah, I was obsessed. But then I realized how much collaboration it is. You know, then you got to work, find the actors. You got to write it. You got to have a gaffer, a grip, the camera guy, the DP. And I was like, I just want to go. Stand-up is so mobile.
Is stand-up kind of, I mean, you know, do you, I know you have written on some shows, right, and did some stuff on Schumer's Sketch Show.
Yeah.
Acting-wise, you get, is it like it, for you, like it is for Burr, where he's just like, stand-up's number one. If I get to do some of that other cool shit, cool.
Of course, but I'm a horrible actor. Like, you can act. I don't know how you do it. I can't get out of my head.
Went to school.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, but at SC, but like, still even going to school, it's like I see people that didn't do any of that, and they just have a natural gift. I mean, I've also been, I mean, that's where I was first, and then started stand-up after college, but it's also like, you know, it's just like anything. Like, I had a lot of reps of doing it for a long time, so maybe it's just a little bit more muscle memory, you know?
Yeah, yeah, but you don't get, I'm too scared to get vulnerable. You can get vulnerable.
Yeah.
That's impressive. That's maturity, and that's I don't have that. I'm. I think it's
lack of dad. I think. Yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh shit. Yeah. No dad.
Yeah, let me just lay down real quick. No, he's alive. Just
not around.
Just bounced early. I mean, now it's fine. You know, you always
fix it up. The least white thing about you.
Oh, dude, I've got some stories.
Oh,
dude.
Well, what are we talking to me for?
You and I are just breaking the.
This is killer.
Breaking
this
the seal
stuff.
On the friendship. But
all right.
I think that
it's probably why you're funny.
For sure, dude.
Because you know, my dad was checked out as well.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, I remember coming home as a kid. You just want his approval, and I would start talking. He would point to the TV. He would go, huh? Huh?
Whoa.
Like, don't talk to me. Look at the TV.
Mine would point to the woman he was cheating on my mom with. And I was like, why is she here? No, I'm joking.
That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's, dude, same thing. Dad approval, man.
Yeah.
And even now, still, like, I feel, which is so weird because I've never been to therapy.
What? You gotta go.
I know. I hear it's like,
it changed
invaluable.
My life.
God, I've heard that, you know, because I've definitely, you know, in relationships, you know, gotten in fights where I know that things that I've just bottled down. But you know what it is? My mom tried to force me into a divorce one where it's just like, weird fat guy with a beard. He looked like Spielberg's brother that didn't make it. And he was like, I'm going to be a divorce counselor.
Oh,
but he had a
God.
Mini hoop up in his office. And I love basketball, right?
Sure.
I want to go pro. And I would just come in and just start shooting hoops. And then one day, I remember I shot one. It bounced, and he bounced right to him in his chair. I'm going to get the offensive rebound. He just catches it, and I reach out, and he goes, and this is probably like the third time. And
whoa.
Each of the first three times, he'd let me just shoot hoops and just goes, the kid's not going to talk, whatever.
Yeah.
And on this one, he grabbed it and goes, why don't we talk for a little bit before you shoot a couple more baskets? And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Sat down and tried to get some shit out of me. Tried to a little, and then it was just too weird.
Yeah.
And so my mom was like, I can't do this. Like, and she's like, all right, I'm not going to force you. But she, you know, she's like, this is what you're supposed to do, I guess. You put them into a...
Yeah.
But I hear from, I mean, you're just, I, you know, the...
That's like a PSA. 30th
comic that has told me, like, you just gotta, it's, you know, I mean, I don't know, what did it do for you?
Well, it just, they say most comics have a over-loving mother and a no dad. That's like the pattern, they say.
Wow, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, same. And my dad is a nice guy.
Yeah.
He just doesn't think about it. Like, he's not like, I got to show my son some love and some attention. He's just like, all right, I got to go to work. I got to make some money so I can pay for the house. And I'm like, hey, Dad, over here. He's like, well, what are you talking about? I got to make money.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a lot of that. I don't think he was a bad guy. But then I heard his childhood story, and I'm like, I totally forgive you.
No way.
Oh, it was crazy. It was like movie shit where you're like, I didn't think that was a real, that was like a Dickens novel kind of shit.
He told you when you're an adult, now it's like a bedtime story, right?
He never opens up. We're at dinner one night. Like 2-3 years ago, and he just went off at dinner. He's just like, my dad did that. And me and my mom were looking at each other like, what the fuck is this?
I just said, pass the salt. Yeah.
Yeah, but we just were like, well, let's listen. And it was like, he unloaded, like, the 50s came out, and it was
holy
crazy.
Shit.
It was unbelievable. So I learned a lot, and I was like, I'll never say a bad thing about you again. I didn't know all that shit. I had it good compared to you.
Wow, dude.
Yeah, I had the weirdest childhood. Have you heard about my childhood?
No.
I grew up, and my dad bought a dilapidated mansion, because my dad grew up super poor, like, you know, dirt poor, and so he's always wanted to be, he's like N-word rich kind of thing, where he's just like, he would buy an old Beamer just to say he had a Beamer, but it didn't run.
Yep.
So we're at he buys this dilapidated mansion in Treme, which is this, like, the shit neighborhood in New Orleans, and it's got no running water, no electricity. We got extension cords. We got those, like, you know, mechanic lights in the kitchen.
It looks like a house that, like, Kevin McAllister is going to take over to take on some bandits.
That's exactly right. I remember we'd see a pigeon go by every now and then. We had termites.
Daniel Stern is hiding in the sink.
Yeah, the wet bandits. Nice. Yeah, so it was brutal, and we had a transgender nanny, transvestite nanny named Enos. It was this giant black guy. It looked like Ving Rhames. I know, you can't
That's
make this
awesome.
Up. He, like, taught me how to, you know, go on a date, taught me how to throw a punch, taught me how to ride a bike, all
Amazing.
This shit. Yeah, and so we got robbed all the time, too. It was a terrifying way to live.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, my dad bought this place just because he wanted to seem well off. Like, I think that rich thing, the poor thing fucked him up so bad he had to show that he was
overcompensate,
rich.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
And maybe also to himself or to you guys, like maybe he felt inadequate or
yeah, he definitely
wasn't
felt inadequate.
Providing the way he wanted to. So he's like, look, we got a mansion.
Maybe. Man, my mom was bringing in most of the bread, to be honest, which has got to feel weird, but she was so secure that she could just be like, ah, I'm good.
Damn, how much of that do you, you know, because what's also great about you with your joke writing is that, like, you know, as fun and upbeat and there's almost like this is why Seinfeld said on air, by the way, that current favorite comic.
That was crazy.
Which to me, I think I sent you a message after I saw that. That was so crazy to me, dude.
Not
surprising at all, because I was just like, fuck yeah. But it also made me really like Seinfeld more, to where I'm
right.
Like, good for you to have a finger on the pulse of what's happening.
I and guess
not just
so.
Be fuck yeah, dude. And not just be tied to your Comedians in Cars friends.
Right.
And be like, hey, what's out there?
Yeah.
And like, whether he saw you at a club, because I know he does pop in still, and or ask people, whatever it was. But that was really cool to me. But you know, he must have been an influence on you, right? Because your style.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because again, like when I was saying and watching you, it's like I'm definitely a little more longer form, and then now even stories or whatever, but like I admire that just quick setup punch, like
you
get a bunch in, like even your Tonight Show, which you're about to do, it's your third, right?
Yeah.
And even Conan's a bunch, it's like the amount of jokes you can get into that amount of time is so fucking great.
Oh, thanks.
But
man,
there's still like a lot of like honesty and you can your sensibility and get who you are, which is, I feel like, not easy to do when you're kind of I don't know what the word I'm trying to find is. It's, you know,
you're not
being a character of yourself, but it's a real like jovial, just, you know what I'm saying? Like almost like it's not as like straight and conversational as a delivery.
Yes.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
But you still get all the substance there. So
that's a great way to put it. Yes. I appreciate that. Yes. But again, people tell me like, oh, you're so jokey and punchy and all that.
That's
like,
the best thing about it.
But
dude,
it's all fear. It's all fear. I'm just scared of the silence.
I'm
using the fear in my for my advantage,
I guess.
Isn't
that crazy? Like even like when you did I was rewatching one of your Fallons and you did like a, fuck, you just did like a little, I wish I could remember the joke, a little gesture, and even the way you kind of like lean in sometimes or lean back, or like even like on the mic here now when you were just like, my mom was bringing the bread, and you put your mouth over to cover like the, you know, like nobody would hear, like those little things are just very much a part of you, and it's really cool, and I don't know when you started allowing for all that, or
interesting.
If you,
wow, good
or if you were just trying to like, if it is all part of the fear, and because you don't like, you know, you don't move nervously with, which I feel like is a real easy tick to not let go of, the whole like not moving without a purpose.
Yeah.
But, so you're very grounded, but you know, like the pace in which you move is like, you know, effortless. But I can hear what you're saying, where you're like, oh, maybe it's coming out of some fear of what?
Of silence, of not doing well, of them hating me. I assume they hate me right when I go on. Like,
that's so funny.
I assume I walk on, they go, oh, look at this fucking guy, he's gonna suck. And I've had people say that, and it doesn't even bother me because I'm like, I get it, you know.
Does it make you want to then lock in harder? Do you always use that?
Yeah, of course. I want to go, no, hold on, let me try. Don't give up on me yet. But I just, I wouldn't like me, I guess.
Yeah.
So I just try to like really.
Great special title, by the way.
Oh, I wouldn't like me. That is great. Somebody write that down.
I think we did.
Yeah. Yeah,
in
that's
audible
killer.
Form. That's really good, dude.
How about this? This is a title I've always thought of. Do you have a title in your head? Every comic's got a title.
Of course.
All right, I want to hear yours.
For a special?
Yeah. Wait, oh, you don't have it, do you?
I do.
Okay. It looked like your wheels were turning.
I did. Well, I just did my album, and so the title I had, I used it for the album.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hit me.
But there were two different titles.
Oh, all right. I want to hear them.
So the, I went with Read the Room.
Ah, nice.
But because I just was using that a lot. But I always, I also say, hell yeah, a lot. And I wanted that to be...
that
like,
works.
Like when I... this whole bit I used to do about, you know, getting in... just the way I would diffuse, like, road rage and whatever and just throwing down the window and people yelling at me and saying hell yeah to myself to diffuse any sort of thing. So I just thought that was a quick, easy, but...
That's
but
great.
The more I started kind of thinking about it, I'm like, dude, you do want something like... I wouldn't like... Like, that's powerful and it's... you want something that does reflect something on you, right?
Yes, yes.
So the people, after they see it, even if they... Even if it doesn't, they don't know what it means. They see the special and they're like, "Oh man, that is like
right.
that syncs up."
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a good. What's a good special title that really hits you?
I mean, Burr's the one he did in Atlanta.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yes,
that is a good one.
Love that.
Yeah. Hey, Adele. Mine.
Of course, there was Bonnie Hunt's first special. what was it? It was.
I never did my mine was called because I do a lot of race, women,
yep.
gay, like I generalize in my act. So I was going to do one called Generally Speaking
because
I'm
good.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm generally speaking.
Yeah.
But it's and would, I'm speaking generally.
Would you feel pressure to say that a lot or at least say it once?
Yeah, at least
almost
once.
Like in the movie, you
at
know, where
once.
It's like they said it. They said the title.
And everybody goes, he said Goonies.
We got to get off this Titanic. You're like, dude, we knew what the movie was.
That's true.
You didn't
but
need
it
to
is
say
fun
it.
To hear
yeah.
it. Yeah, I don't
boy,
know
boy, this
why
is
that
a crazy
is.
Air Bud 7. It's like, dude, no one's going to buy that that was
right.
authentic dialogue.
Oh, so you're drinking your juice in the hood? You know? yeah.
So is there a time in New Orleans that you do those first few open mics and you get like either... You know, adulation from friends or did you invite your folks out or were you just kind of like...
No folks.
Yeah.
No, they don't want to come. So I didn't want to bother them. And that you don't want them to see you that early because they'd be like, this is what you're doing? This is horrible.
All right, so you had that wherewithal to know that.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh,
I got to
yeah.
wait for a minute.
I knew I sucked and I was pouring sweat. I had stage fright for like first four or five years.
Dang.
I was a mess.
When was the first time they saw you? You sent them a selfie from a Schumer jet and you were like, see, you doubted me.
It was weird because they didn't care. Then I got Conan and then they were kind of like, oh, maybe there's something to this. That's how long it took.
Wow.
Yeah.
But also people that removed, and I'm assuming, right, they are. Like, there was nobody in your family that had any sort of ties. So, like, we can get you on the Tom Green show.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Nothing like that.
No,
so
no.
they're so removed. So their idea of making it is, you know, well, unless you're in Morgan Freeman's films, playing
right.
his wife, you know, or whatever.
Exactly.
They think Hollywood is. Then it's like they you haven't done it, I guess, more or less, right?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, otherwise it's just a hobby that you're wasting your time on. So, but the Seinfeld thing was big. That they like. I mean, how could a mom not like that?
Did you send her that immediately?
Immediately. First person.
Because they know who he is. I mean, they're not privy enough.
We grew up watching the show, or I did growing up. I watched it with them, you know, like
wow.
hey, late night NBC or must see TV
yeah,
or whatever
man.
The hell it was. You know, Kramer.
Did you message him? Did somebody reach out to you? Did you?
You know, you don't know how this how we met?
No.
Oh, okay. Crazy story.
Okay, great. I think we're you're going on 10:45, right?
Yeah.
So 7 minutes.
I'm sure they're running behind,
okay,
too.
Cool.
They'll probably get me.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Yeah, they will.
I'm at Gotham, and I had like a four-show night, so I'm running around. It's a tight night, you know? It's like one set goes wrong, then it's dominoes. You lose all of them.
Yep.
So I'm at Gotham. It's the second set of the night, two more after that. I show up. They go, up, 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 boo. Slow down, fatty. Seinfeld's here. I'm like, oh, damn it. And that's how good New York is. I'm like, ah, fuck,
yeah.
Seinfeld's here.
Yep.
But I was like, well, I'm going to watch because he's Seinfeld. So he's up there and he's shucking and jiving, doing his thing. What's the deal with? And they're like, you got to follow him. And I'm like, ah, damn. Following Seinfeld just means you're the guy while they go pee. You know, they'll leave and go
yep.
pee and check
yep.
their phone or
they
whatever.
They go, it's not going to get better than this.
Exactly.
Unless he turns around and comes back on stage and does more time.
Exactly. So I'm kind of like, well, this is going to be a waste, and I really wanted to work this out and whatever. So I'm annoyed a little bit, which is, again, crazy. That I'm going on after Seinfeld. I'm annoyed.
Yes.
But
yeah. Hey, but
you
know,
get it.
Yes.
You at the store. It's
yes.
all kinds of celebrities coming in
yeah,
out of
man.
There. So he comes off, and the host is bringing me on. So we have to pass each other. And, of course, I'm nervous, and I'm in awe of him. But I was kind of peeved enough that I could be myself, if you know what I mean. Like, the peeveness cut
yeah.
the nervousness.
Wow.
So he comes off, and I go, hey, you still got it. Like, as a kind of a fun, ball-busting
yes.
thing, sarcastic.
As he came off.
As he, we're
okay.
passing each other. And then he hears it, and he goes, and he looks at me and does, like, a double take and goes, oh, hey, I like your stuff, or so. I'm a fan. And I was like, whoa, oh my God.
Yeah, and crippling moment. What the fuck?
And so then I go on and I'm beaming. I'm beaming because he just complimented me. Like, I'm like, just going through my head, like, how does he know who I am? What did he see? What
Are you even in your, you're just in your head thinking of that, and the jokes are coming out somehow.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
And I think I was so elated that it was coming through, and I was murdering. And this was like a Merrill Lynch benefit, so it was like good money, and you had to be clean. So I assume he's gone. I'm killing. I was like, oh my God, I can't
believe he's gone, by the way. Awesome.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, because Paul McCartney one time was at the Improv, and I knew he was there, and I definitely, I'll tell you that story later, but I definitely, point being, knowing he was there, got in my head, man.
Of course.
And it fucking made me do things I don't think I would normally do.
Yes.
And like talking in a British accent the whole time. No. But
we're such twats, too, that you're like, maybe he'll put me in the Beatles.
I know.
You know, maybe he'll start the band up and he'll put me in. You know, our brain goes to these horrible, crazy, elaborate places.
So you're crushing. He's gone.
I'm doing
you
a good
think
set.
He's gone.
I think he's gone. And I get off and I go, ooh, that went well. All right. I'm back, baby. Whatever. And then he comes out of the woodwork, comes out of the shadows and goes, that was great. Let's go hang out. And I go, what the Jesus? Oh my God!
What the fuck?
So,
by the way, people should know this is crazy. He doesn't. That's hang out.
He doesn't hang out with anybody.
He popped in on my shows at Gotham last time I was here on the Sunday, and I was like, and we talked for a minute, and then I was like, do you mind if I get a picture? I just done a little thing on Curb and whatever, and I was like, it's cool. You're on my. He was on my show, so I felt like it wasn't totally crazy.
Yes.
And he goes, yes, but let's do it right when I get off. Meet me in the hallway right away because I'm taking off. So he came out, we did it, and he beelined out the door.
Yeah.
And Mazzilli, the owner of Gotham, was like, that's how he does it, man. So even crazier that he was like, let's go kick it now.
Insane. He doesn't want to hang out with anybody, you know.
No, he's got his friends.
Yes, he's an old curmudgeon Jew.
Yeah.
So we go down to the green room at the bottom of Gotham, and I'm shitting myself. I'm just like, what do I do here? Do I play it cool? Do I tell him I'm insane and in love with him? Or what? Like, what do you do? So I just kind of like calm myself down. He's sitting where you are. Like, we're this close. And he's like, so where are you from? What's your deal? You know, what's your story and all that? I'm like, oh, you know, and I'm just trying to be normal. And Neil Brennan has that great quote. He said, when you're hanging out with a celebrity, it's like driving next to a cop. You're going, the whole time you're going, is this how I act? You know, is this what it's like? Is this how I would do it if he wasn't here?
Yep,
and, you know, and it's the same feeling with a guy. You're like, is this who I am? Am I being real right now? Like, you know, you're trying to just keep checking yourself. And 10 minutes in, it was terrifying. But after 10 minutes, he's just another guy. He was just a Long Island comic who liked baseball and cars. And he was like a normal dude. He had like a baseball hat on and we were just talking. And we talked about gossip and jokes and the 80s and the show and Larry and just everything. And I knew everything. And I could tell he was impressed that I was such a nerd. You know, he would be like, I used to do this club called Catch. You probably know. I'm like, Catch a Rising Star on 71st. And he's like, oh, wow. And he's like,
oh, you're a comedy junkie, man. Yes, which he loves.
He loves.
And I mean, I don't know if you were quoting things from the show, but like.
No, I didn't want to go there.
Okay, yeah.
But I know everything about the show, obviously. But also, he's like, my dad, I was like, Cal. I know his dad. I mean, I read all his. I'm telling you, man, I'm a fucking autistic.
Oh, so you were ready for this
moment,
yeah. Dude.
He's like, you know my dad's name? Like, geez, like, take it easy.
You got a debit card, yeah.
Yeah. And so it was just, I could tell.
Surreal.
It was surreal. And obviously those. Whoa, I think a printer just fell off a table here. All right, sorry, folks. I'll just fill some air. So he was impressed. I knew all that. And he's like, this is the craziest part. This is when the whole thing's crazy, but this is when it's like, oh, this is next level galaxies aligned kind of shit. He goes, by the way, had to be clean on this show. Happened to be the show he was on. If I had done my school shooting pedophilia chunk, he would have been like, this guy's a little much, maybe. So it just worked
maybe
out.
We'll postpone the hang.
Yeah.
I'll find somebody else that knows my dad's name.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I had to be clean for Merrill Lynch, so maybe it was almost kismet. But either way, he goes, this was great, good hanging out, good talking to you. And he goes, get my number. And I go, oh, come on, fuck you, or whatever. And he's like, no, get my number. And I'm like, all right, but I will never use it. He goes, use it. And I was like, And then he left.
Out of body.
Yeah, and then we were walking out and talking, and every word you're like paying attention to, because you're like, I don't want to remember, forget this moment.
Yeah, because who knows? I mean, you don't know if there's going to be a follow-up.
Completely.
Unless you FaceTime him as he walks away.
Yes, yes, yeah, which he would kick me in the balls if I did that. But yeah, so I got out of there, and he went up again, and I watched his set. So by the way, my other two sets are just, that's over. I obviously missed out. My phone's blowing up. Where the fuck are you?
Fine.
Are you closing?
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. I told everybody, like, I'm talking to Seinfeld. They're like, all right. But I ran around West 23rd Street just skipping, just like, ah!
That's amazing, dude.
Yeah, it was bananas. Like, I called my mom that moment. It was, I'm a douche. I'm a queef.
No, but that's exact. Dude, that is a beautiful story. And that's, I mean, I would venture to guess that, like, some of the shit early starting out times, like, come flooding back as you're skipping around. Like, I don't know if you went by a
That's
corner
exactly right.
that you saw and you were like, or thought of moving out there and you just all was like, you
That's
think about
so
all
true.
The work you put into it and you're like, dude, because timing is everything, you know, but you, like, everything you do, you know, it's some, you know, cliche quote, but like preps you for, you know, the things that you get to be in the position to, to do or have happen. And like, you were ready for that moment, but again, like you said, the kismet of all the of it being that show, and you needing to be clean, and you going out of your way to make a joke to him so that he sees you.
Exactly.
Guess
all
what?
Of
Otherwise,
that.
He probably might walk right out.
Walk right out.
But he's like, oh, I like that guy. Let me watch his shit. I mean, that's crazy, dude.
That's so true. And for some reason, I was just adrenaline was pumping, so I was being kind of on in the room, and I could tell he was like, oh, this guy's like a comic. Like, he's a zinging and zanging. Yeah. Most people get around me and they go, how are you, Mr. Seinfeld? Yes, sir. What do you need? And I was treating him like I would treat you in the green room, just busting balls and whatever. And I think, I don't know why I was acting that way, because I'm not a cool guy. But in that moment, I think...
Fear, huh?
Fear
defense mechanism.
Something came over me where I was like, just be it. Just do it. Just go for it. And I was being... be like kitschy and fun in front of this guy, so it just kind of
what you
out.
Are. It's cool that you were able to lock in and be you.
I was locked in. That's what it was. Man. You know when they say like you're in a race car, you're going 8 million miles an hour, you're two inches from the wall, but you're locked in.
Yeah,
that's how I was. Except it wasn't a race car; it was a green room with an old Long Island Jewish guy.
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty wild.
So I mean, catch us up. Like, are you still having dialogue here and there?
So here's the other crazy clinker. So we are on the sidewalk, and he did a bit in his act that is new, and it wasn't working; it wasn't done yet. And he's like, God, the cemetery. He said on stage, like, the cemetery bit, I can't crack it, or something like that. So I remember being like, remember that? Hold on to that. Think of something for the bit. And I thought of like a horrible, dumb tag. So he's on the sidewalk talking to Mazzilli, the owner.
Yep.
And I run by. I don't want to milk it anymore. I just go, good to meet you, Jerry. I got a tag for that cemetery bit. And he goes, ha, all right. And I walked away. And then the next night, I'm telling my girlfriend, and I get a text, Jerry Seinfeld. I'm flipping out. She's flipping out. We're in our underwear like, bah!
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And he goes, what do you got on the cemetery bit? That's how nuts he is. He's thinking like, oh, maybe he's got something. I can use that. So now I'm like, ah, I didn't prepare. You know? Yeah. I don't have anything on the
how
cemetery
bit. How much time
bit.
Do I have before he knows
exactly.
that I'm writing it right now?
So now I'm writing it. It was like an essay where you forgot it was due the next day. I'm like, oh, shit.
You got
so
a comedy shot clock.
So I came up with the dumbest thing, and he goes, oh, yeah, that's funny, thanks. And I could tell it was like, ah, that sucked. And I was like, fuck, I lost him. And then I go, this is how I got him back. I go, but you don't want to step on Carlin's cemetery bit, because he has George Carlin's cemetery bit. And he goes, what's his? And I sent him a link. And then he watched it. He goes, I didn't know about that bit. Thank you. So now I'm back in, baby.
Oh, my God.
So it was like with a supermodel. I'm just trying to like to keep her going, you know, to fuck her. And I mean, we talked for like 2 hours via text, like just breaking down jokes and, well, who do you like? Who don't you like? He's overrated. He saw, and I mean,
oh my God.
I've written like 8 cemetery bits in the time just in case he asked me again.
Smart move.
What?
Smart move.
No, it never came up again. I think I really grossed him out with that one.
So then he said on during the Mets broadcast, right?
Yeah.
That you were one of his guys that he loves right now. That's. Man, that is fucking unbelievable.
Pretty wild. Pretty
Have you
wild.
Opened for him at all or gotten...
I got some... this is another crazy one. Hold on, Ray. You're going to shit a brick. So I'm such a chiseler cunt loser that I need a new
Special
phone.
Title. Let's put you, I wouldn't like me either, on hold for chiseler cunt loser.
That's pretty good. CLR. No, wait.
It was the original
CCL.
Snap, Crackle, and Pop for Rice Krispies. Like, what about Chiseler Cunt Loser?
Yeah.
It's a little too on the nose.
Exactly.
What's the Cinnamon Toast Crunch guy's name? It's only two of them. Let's go with it.
I'm trying to bring Chisler back. Yeah. It means cheap.
I love it.
So I went to the Apple store to buy a new phone. My phone sucks. And they're like, oh, the new one's like $2,000 or $18. I'm like, well, I'm not buying. I thought phones were like $200. Yes. What the hell? So I go, fuck you, queefs. I'm gonna break the system or beat the system. I go on Craigslist. I find some fat Mexican guy. He meets me over by the back of the hospital on First Avenue.
Coincidentally named Chisler.
Yeah. Yes, hey, I'm Chisler. And
they could do accents.
Yeah, that was bad. And he sells me a phone, like a brand new phone, for $350. And I was like, I'm fucking killing. This is what a great deal. Yeah. Fuck everybody. I'm the man. I went behind everybody's back, whatever. And so 2 days later, the phone's crapping out. People are like, why didn't you answer my text? I was like, I never got a text. They're like, I've been texting you all day. I'm like, this phone stinks. So cut to like 2 weeks later, I never buy a new phone. I'm in Charlotte, hungover in a comedy condo.
Yep.
This is where my life's at. They never have curtains. The sun is beaming in. I can't get any sleep in this shitty bedroom. It's a mattress as hard as a rock. I look at my phone. It just lights up, and it's like 7:30 in the morning on a Saturday. And I'm like, oh, God, who would be sick enough to bother me? And it goes, hey, man, is this number still good? It's Jerry. And I'm like, I pick up, like, hey, what? Sorry, man. What do you mean? What I missed? Well, of course, it's still my number. And he was like, I've been trying to contact you. And I go, oh my! Fuck. I've been unknowingly blowing off Seinfeld.
Oh God!
Who the hell am I?
Oh my God!
So I was like, yeah, sorry. I got a new phone. I lost some stuff in the cloud.
yeah. It works.
Yeah. That, now I'm back, baby. And he's like, all right, whatever. Here, call this guy. And he just gave me his manager's info. So I just called George Shapiro, and he's like, Mark,
called Shapiro.
We've been looking all over for you. I'm like, oh my God! I could have lost it. He goes, Jerry's got some gigs for you. So now I got a bunch of gigs, but I almost missed them.
Holy!
Isn't that banana?
No, dude, the universe wasn't going to allow that to happen.
I guess so, but that's how big of a fuck up I am that he had to try again to reach me, you know?
And he, by the way, wouldn't have tried a third time.
He tries
to track you down in Charlotte in a Motel 6 once.
Yeah.
And then he just assumes he's in a La Quinta in Omaha, but he's not going to travel with me.
Exactly. He's probably got a red phone that picks up, goes right to Sebastian, you know?
Oh, my fucking God.
Yeah, so
dude.
I almost missed. Thank God he tried again.
Are those coming up?
They're coming up in November. We got a little time, but I got to buy a suit. I got to fucking.
I was going to say, did Shapiro give you the
Seinfeld
requirement checklist?
He didn't, I had to call Ryan Hamilton and be like, what's the deal? What's the deets? He's like, get a suit, go clean. He says he doesn't care, but he fucking cares. So I got to run the set. I'm going to run it like it's a late night.
Unreal, dude.
Yeah.
I'm so pumped for you, dude.
Oh, thank you.
That's insane.
Green room, I'm nervous.
There's a weird, like, I don't know if it's a documentary or just like a quibby 10-minute something, but like that story with like the, like, reenact, not the fucking True TV's laugh tracks.
You know, right.
You know, where you get some shitty young open mic group because, like, I got to play Seinfeld and got my SAG card. Well, it's after. I got to play Seinfeld, you know.
Yeah.
But you get to see you telling that story. And then that, and then this, like, that is that's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. The whole thing's insane.
Good for you, dude.
And I have to physically stop myself from texting him every day. Because the feeling you get when he texts is like, who am I? This is a guy I watched on NBC in the 90s, and now he's texting. The whole thing's insane.
And you think if a day goes by, he's going to forget you, out of sight, out
of mind. Yes, yeah, it's like a girl.
He knows. Yeah, he knows.
He knows, he knows.
He's got, you got to trust that he's doing it. He knows to not, like... Look, he found you. Like, again, and even if he couldn't get to you, I'm sure there's a world that exists where he hits up Mozilla to hit up somebody.
Right.
Like, hey, who's really good chums with him?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, here's the thing. When we were texting about Carlin back and forth, I go, look, man, this is a lot of typing. We should hit a diner and just do this in person. He goes, I would love to get a lunch. Let's get a lunch sometime. I go, oh, my God, all right, so we got a lunch on the books. And that was in June. We never got lunch. So okay. I took that as like... All right, maybe it's fizzled, you know. What am I? You start having that, like, realization attack where you're like, wait, who do you think you are? Are you talking to Jerry? Shut the fuck up. Get back in
Take
line.
Take the win. You got the moment.
Exactly.
You got the fucking shout-out during the Mets game.
Right.
You know, if Jason Alexander wants to take me on the road, do it.
Costanza.
Good for you, dude.
So, yeah, I'm back in.
You're unbelievable. I'm so glad we could do this, man.
Sorry if I hogged this whole thing.
This is great.
Got too excited.
This is my favorite thing about this whole thing, man. It's like, you know, we've known each other for a bit now, but it's like cool to have these, like,
just
get a little more depth and again, substance to who you are. But you're one of my faves, man. So.
Oh, come on. You're my hero. You've always been so nice. You were always doing movies and shit. I remember we did Caroline's with D'Elia in like 88 or whatever that was.
Dude.
And you were like D'Elia was kind of scary because he was so big, and I was a young comic. But you were like the nice face of like, okay, I can talk to that guy. I won't bother
D'Elia.
Yeah,
man.
And that meant a lot to me. That went a long way.
Well, I remember, too, I should have even told you, but me like, being a young, competitive male dude, I remember seeing you crush. You were hosting.
I don't know. I was so new and weird.
But again, me seeing like being like, oh, God, I got this 8-minute Denny's bit. Norman's crushing with a 1,000 jokes in 10 minutes.
You had a bit about doing mushrooms and a beanbag chair. I remember trying to fuck the beanbag chair. Yeah, that was murdering every night. And I was like,
it was Jerry's bit, and I just basically tweaked it.
Yes, he's got the best shroom stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks,
well,
man.
At Mark Norman on Instagram and Twitter, right?
At Mark Norman on Twitter, at Mark Norman on Instagram, and MarkNormanComedy.com.
Tuesdays with Stories, your podcast.
That's right. That's a hot one.
And you post, I mean, dude, you're a joke machine on Twitter and all that, so you're a good follow and a good hang.
I appreciate it. Mazel tov.
Mazel tov, baby.
Praise Allah.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Man, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?